So, what did you guys think about the game? Honest opinions. What did you think?
Kind of depressing.
You need to know your partner better, right? Imagine.
Well, it's depressing that the last time someone was happy was Cameron.
Oh, I'm sure Cameron was happy before that. He won a game. He won his last game, his last football game. Imagine playing that game with like somebody that you completely knew nothing about. It would be even more depressing. You wouldn't know nothing about him.
That's
your last
game? I didn't know anything.
Gotcha. So the purpose of the game was to show you guys like how well people know each other or don't know each other, apparently. And the more time that you spend with someone, obviously, the more you learn about them, the more you get to know about them. 2 weeks ago, we started a series called Be the Change. And the first week in the middle school area, we talked about our emotions and how our relationship with God can help us like be in control of our emotions. Last week, we talked about independence and how, like, you know, where you guys are at in life, you all want to be more independent, you want to go do more things, you want, like, less rules and all of that, and how the independence that you think you want, the independence that you, like, think with no rules and everything might not look like you think it will. And today, we're going to be talking about friendships. Friendships can be tricky, especially where you guys are at in high school. Just like our emotions, sometimes our friendships are easy, sometimes life is good, you're getting along, there's no problems, you guys are just skating along. And then the next thing you know, you guys are at each other's throats, you're tearing each other apart, you guys know everything there is to know about each other, you know more about each other, so it's easier for you to tear each other down, and it can leave you guys like wondering or questioning, like, why are you even friends in the first place? Gabe, Oliver, Gabe, do me a favor, buddy, come sit over here, please. Our friendships are like our emotions. They can change, like, abruptly, just in an instant. Like I said, one moment you're happy, the next moment you guys are just wondering and questioning why you guys are even friends to begin with. God designed us to need relationships, especially friendships. And today we're going to look at the best friendships I think of, or I can think of, in the Bible. Can any of you guys think of like friendships in the Bible? That's what we're going to be talking about. Anybody got any other ones?
Jesus and the disciples.
Jesus and the disciples. Yeah. None of you are wrong. Today we're going to be looking at Jonathan and David. I thought it's fitting. That's a good friendship, you know. And we're also watching the series, so this is something you guys will all be familiar with. What? Yeah. That's a good one, but we're going to be focused on Jonathan and David. The friendships that you guys make in your teenage years, like these friendships that you guys have now, the friends that you guys associate with, they have like a huge impact on your guys' lives. Like, they're very important to you. To some of you, some of your friendships that you have are more important, even so, than some of your relationships with family members. Yes. You spend so much time with your friends. You're doing everything together. You guys relate so well together. You guys are the same age. Sometimes your beliefs and your everything that you're going through, like, it molds. You guys are just, you feel like more connected with your buddy or your friend than you do even with sometimes your siblings or your cousins or family members. That's not a bad thing. I'm not trying to diminish that. It's actually a good thing to have those relationships. But it can be a bad thing if your friend is not a good influence, if they're not doing things that will help keeping you on your walk. So today what we're going to look at is what a healthy friendship looks like. And we're going to look at David and Jonathan. So Jonathan is King Saul's son. King Saul is anointed the king. As we saw in the movie, he loses favor with God. God anoints David to be the king. David slays Goliath. All this you guys should be familiar with. Saul has David come and live in the palace with them. A little different than what we learned in the movie. And him and David and Jonathan become friends. While David is living in the palace, Saul gets jealous of him, and he starts to, you know, like make plans to want to kill him and stuff. So we're going to look at 1 Samuel 18, and we'll read the first few verses there. My goal is, I guess, to try to paint a picture, and I'm hoping that most of you are familiar with this story. So 1 Samuel. Yeah. When you're there, raise your hand, please.
Wait, what did you say? What?
Huh? 1 Samuel 18. And we're just going to read like the first few verses. David's living in the palace with Saul. He has good favor with the king right now. And we're learning about the relationship that he has with Jonathan. Who wants to read it for me? Anybody? Oliver, go ahead. We're going to read just like the first... read the first four verses.
And his speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day, and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David may come in, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe, fell upon him, and gave it to David. And his garments even took his sword and his bow and his girdle.
Yeah. So, he says that David, Jonathan loved David as his own soul. Like, so their relationship, they're close, they're tight-knit, they're like best friends, the BFFs, as you guys say, right?
BFF?
Isn't that what I said? Yeah. So when Saul plans to kill David, Jonathan warns him. Turn over to 19 verse 2. Go ahead. Read it.
What is it, chapter 19?
Chapter 19, verse 2, yeah. It should be, some of you are on the same page.
But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seek him to kill thee. Now therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place and hide thyself.
Saul is Jonathan's father. Yeah, but he's such good friends with David that he is not going to allow his dad to kill him, you know. He goes and he warns him and tells him, like, you know, hey, my dad's going to kill you. You need to get out of here. You know, he's looking out for him because he cares about him. Eventually, we learn that Saul and Jonathan are killed in battle. And we see it return to 2 Samuel now, chapter 9. Saul and Jonathan are killed in battle. David finds out about this. He's deeply saddened. During this time, David has plenty of opportunities to kill Saul, but he can't bring himself to do it. He just doesn't want to. It's not who he is. 2 Samuel chapter 9. Who said that? Gabe? I'm trying to figure out how far we're learning about Jonathan's son. I don't want to read the whole chapter because we're crunching at time. So read 6 and 7. Oh my gosh, I did not plan that, but please read 6 and 7. That's a God thing right there.
And he said unto him, Lo, now there is a city, a man of God, and he is an honorable man, all save come unto to pass. Now let us go together to a peradventure, or he can shew us our way that we should go. And Saul to the servant, behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent on our vessels, and there is God,
what have we? Yeah. Your version is a little different. So it says, now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold thy servant. David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee the kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. They were such good friends, alright, that Jonathan's killed, and David finds out that he has a son, which in this time, like, Mephibosheth would have been an enemy of David. He would have been, like, not looked on as a good person. They, honestly, he probably would have been killed because of the bloodline he came from. He was the king's, you know, like an heir to the throne. In those times, they believed that that person could eventually come up and rule. You know, it's just, he could have, by all means, killed Mephibosheth, but instead, he restores everything unto him. I will surely all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. He cared about David, or Jonathan, so much that he seeks out his son, and he tells him, like, hey, you'll have favor in my house. You'll always be able to eat that bread at my table. What do you got, Gabe? Is it pertinent?
I've read this story before, and I forgot how you pronounce his name.
Mephibosheth?
Yeah, Mephibosheth.
I don't even know if I'm right, but I'm not an English scholar.
He uses crutches.
Crutches? Yeah. To get around?
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
He hurt his legs when he was very young.
Yeah, and it probably talks about this more up in the thing, but I'm trying to break the story down, summarize it as small as I can to paint a picture for us. So when we look at friendship in the Bible, God gives us a few examples of what a godly friendship looks like. This is what I would say is like a godly friendship. You see loyalty in this friendship. Saul was Jonathan's father, but his friendship with David was so strong that he was loyal to him, and he warned him that his father was coming to get him. So he was loyal to his friend. He was caring. They cared about each other like family. It said that David was to Jonathan as his own soul. Jonathan loved David as his own soul. And we see sacrifice. They were willing to risk their own lives for their friendship. Obviously, friendships that these, like this type of friendship is probably like an extreme. I mean, we might feel like that kind of love towards our friends or think that we do, but when you break it down, like, will you really do all of those things for your friend? Would you really go all out like that? And I don't know, maybe some of you do, but we should do everything we can to help our friends. We should always be loyal to our friends and to keep their trust and even be willing to sacrifice for them. Not necessarily our lives. Like, I'm definitely not saying we need to do that. But we need to give them our ears. We need to be willing to listen when they're going through struggles. We need to give them our time. The people that we surround ourselves with, we start to become like. The more you hang out with somebody, the more you might not notice it, but the more you start to act like how they act. You must start to do things that they do. 6-7, like, you guys heard it. You see people around you doing it, and now everybody does it. It's kind of like that with friendship. The more time you spend with somebody, the more of their habits, their traits, their things that you start to pick up on and you start to emulate in your life. I would imagine most of you guys don't have a list of requirements when you're picking out friends. Like, this person, you know, they don't check this box. They don't check this box. You guys are in class together, or you're in an event together, an activity, football, whatever it is, band, tennis, whatever. You spend time with them, and you're like, all right, this person's funny. I like being around them. You know, they make me laugh. You know, they just seem interesting, and you get to know more and more about them. So in the Bible, it tells us to choose our friends wisely. Turn to Proverbs now. 22. Stay in the Old Testament for right now. It's a couple chapters to the right in your Bible. A couple. I'm not going to say a ton, but it's, you know. Yeah, somewhere in that range. Proverbs 22. We're going to look at verses We're going to look at verses 24 and 25.
Got it.
Can you read? Is anybody else there that wants to read? I'm trying to give everybody a chance to participate. Brendan wants to read. He was a little bummed last time. Go on, Brendan, read it for us. Yes, Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25.
Make no friendship with an angry man, with a furious man thou shalt not go. Lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul.
Lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Now, if we aren't careful who we surround ourselves with, then we begin to become like them, and they can steer us astray. They can affect our walks. Yeah, if you're not surrounding yourself by godly people, if you're not choosing your friends wisely, like I said, you don't have a list of requirements, but if you're not, like, vetting your friends, you know, if you meet somebody and they don't go to church or they don't do anything like that, doesn't mean you can't hang out with them, but you need to be careful and, like, watch how you pursue that friendship, because they can affect your walk. It works also in reverse. Like, you guys, you're all here today on a Sunday. You guys, we're going to a youth event. I ask you guys to invite friends. You all have an opportunity to, on the flip side, steer somebody in the right direction. Somebody can negatively affect your walk. You can positively affect somebody else's walk. So you might not be vetting them. They might not go to church, but that doesn't mean that you don't want to get to know more about them. So when you build your friendship, when you start to get to know somebody, build your foundation of your friendship in church. Bring them to church. Invite them to youth group on Wednesdays. Bring them around, you know, godly people, godly friends, people that you know aren't into the wrong thing, that isn't really the wrong crowd. We should want to surround ourselves with people that have a positive effect on us, not people who are dragging us down. It's important that we identify the friends that aren't good for us, and even though it may be hard, it's good for us to leave people like that too, to just separate ourselves from people that are just not good for us. How you go about that can look like however you want it to be. I'm not saying, like, just completely shut somebody off. You can still take the opportunity to be a positive influence on them, but maybe not hang out with them as much. We should have friends that want to build us up. We should have friends that want to encourage us and support us in our walks. Proverbs 13, verse 20. Flip back a couple pages.
Chapter what? Verse 20?
Proverbs 13, verse 20. Bailey, if you're there, I'll let you read it. You were wanting to last time.
Can I read it?
Man, I would love to hear your voice again, but I want to give somebody else an opportunity.
13, verse what?
20.
Okay.
He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. God knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows our true nature. It's in His intentions to protect us from ourselves. If you're surrounding yourself with wise men, good people, then obviously you're gonna stay on the right path. Good friends, true friends, know what's best for each other. In Colossians, Paul's talking to the Christians about how they should treat each other. Now we're going to flip to Colossians, and we're going to look at this. Again, Paul is talking to the Christians. It's to the right, towards the back now. We're in the New Testament. Colossians 3, verses 13 and 14. Colossians 3. It's a very short book, not very long. You keep flipping fast through it, you gotta fly right by it, you know? Colossians 3, verses 13 and 14. Talking about who we surround ourselves, when we're true friends. And go ahead, Jalen. Well, I'll get you on the next one, Ollie. I think we got one more. Colossians 3?
Yeah.
13 and 14?
Doesn't
live
in taste.
Oh, shoot. Hold on. Okay. Madeline, go ahead. Jalen lost his opportunity. Colossians 3, 13 and 14. Sorry, Ollie. Go ahead.
Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of forgiveness.
Yeah, Paul's telling us to have forgiveness and to put on charity. easier said than done sometimes. Forgiving somebody, giving them something. What does charity mean to you guys? Can somebody tell me what charity is? Love. Anybody got any other ideas of what charity is? What does charity look like? Anybody?
Giving.
Yeah, that's what most people think of. Giving like... Yeah, so when you give something to somebody out of charity, like, do you expect anything in return?
No.
No, you're just doing it out of the kindness of your heart. It says, we should. You should be willing to forgive people. You should be willing to give without the expectation of anything back. Now let's turn to John 15:13. It's
my favorite verse.
Yeah. Okay. John. Yes. Back to the left. I'm trying to paint a picture, and hopefully I'm doing all right at it, but we're talking about our friends, we're talking about relationships. John 15, verse 13. You can recite it?
Yeah.
Oliver, I told you you'd have the next one, buddy.
You said 15:13.
Hold on. Oh, shh. Start over, buddy, real loud. Sounds pretty extreme, right?
It's on the back of the Bible.
Yeah. That's good. I didn't know it was on the back. Is that the new, our new ones?
Old.
Yeah. Sounds pretty extreme, right, though? Laying down your life for your friend, that's like a, that's a big deal. To lay down our life for our friends is a pretty tall ask. But I do pray that we have friendships that we feel like we would want to sacrifice ourselves for our friends, that we care about our friends so much that we wouldn't want to lay down our lives necessarily, but we would want to, like, lay down ourselves, you know? Like, it doesn't have to look like giving up your life, but, like, lay down in yourself. Our time, like I said earlier, being there when they're dealing with something tough, going out of their way to be there for them when they need you to, even going as far to call them out. Like, when your friend's doing something that you know they shouldn't be doing, you got to be call them out, you know? Tell them, hey, you're doing something that you shouldn't. Sometimes that might look like telling an adult when it's really hard and you know this person's up to no good and they're going to end up hurting themselves or they're going to end up doing something that you know is not good for them. The hard thing to do might be, you know, laying down yourself, telling on them, telling a parent, telling an adult. I'm not going to tell you to narc on nobody, but if you really care about somebody and you know that they're in a position where they might not be better off after that, then, I mean, love them. Tell somebody. Even if you know it would have a negative effect on your relationship. Gabe, what do you got?
I said that verse in my testimony.
In your testimony? Yeah, I remember your testimony, but I'll be honest, I didn't get to hear all of the words because you tugged at my heartstrings with it. So, you see, when you go out of your way to sacrifice yourself for someone in these ways, you're doing right by them in God's eyes. When we leave, like today, there's just two things that I really want you guys to think about and ponder on as we go out of here, as we leave here today. The first one is, are you being a Jonathan or a David? Like, are you loyal to your friends? Are you caring? Are you sacrificial? Is that the type of friend that you choose to be? Like, to your friends, is that the kind of person that you're trying to emulate yourself after? And then, on the flip side of that, are you seeking people like that? Are you seeking people that are helping you with your walk, that hold you accountable, that they want you to draw closer to God? So that is it. That's what I got on friendships. You know, we should all want to surround ourselves with people that just obviously we enjoy being around, but that help us in our walks. Hold on, game. Okay.